I would like to start this little informal discussion with excerpts from a speech by Sojourner Truth made at a women's rights convention during the 19th century. And may I insert right here that during the discussion series, maybe a couple of my black sisters or anybody would like to make statements, answer some of the questions, because I'm really, this is off the top of my head and with some other information from other books and authors. Okay. Well, children, where there's so much racket, there must be something out of kilter. I think that twist the niggers of the South and the women of the North all are talking about rights, the white men will soon be in a pretty fix. But what's all this here talking about? That man over there say that women need to be helped into carriages and lifted over ditches and have to have the best places everywhere? Nobody ever helped me in the carriages or over mud puddles or gives me the best places. And aren't I a woman? Look at me. Look at my arm. I have plowed and planted and gathered into barns, and no man could head me. And aren't I a woman? I could work as much as any man when I could get it and bear the lashes well. And aren't I a woman? I have borne 5 children, and I seen most all sold off into slavery. And when I cried out with a woman's grief, none but Jesus heard. And aren't I a woman? First, I would like to talk about the historical aspects of black women and the women's liberation movement. In discussing the black woman from a historical perspective, it is important to know that there is no monolithic concept of the black woman, but that there are many models of black womanhood. However, there is a common denominator, a common strand of history that characterizes all black women, and that's oppression. Important history comes to us from feminist movements of the early 19th and early 20th centuries that the current women's liberation movement is emerged out of the wake of the civil rights movement in the early 1960s. So did the women's suffrage movement, was clearly allied with the abolitionist movement in its early years. However, during the early women's suffrage movement, we find a clear racist line during that movement. The white upper class women insisted that if inferior black men could vote, surely white women, their moral superiors, should be able to vote. And that, furthermore, white men could ensure white supremacy by giving the vote to their wives and mothers. And this could be found in the issue 3 of Women, a Journal of Liberation. Now, we find black women who were very active in the Southern civil rights movement also. They were the backbone of the Southern struggle and were among the first to challenge male domination of the movement. From an article by Linda Sess in Motives magazine, she said, the first woman to raise the cry of dissent was Ruby Doris Smith Robinson, a young black who was the chief administrator of SNCC. It was her tough and strong paper, The Position of Women in SNCC, presented at a conference in October of 1964, which evoked Stokely Carmichael's famous remark, the only position for women in SNCC is prone. The next thing I would like to talk about is the position of the black woman in the women's liberation movement. Now, we do have common causes, the women's struggle and white and the women's liberation movement, but there are some differences. Now, in the black woman's position, she faces double jeopardy. She faces racial as well as sexual discrimination. The black woman experiences both of these discriminations and she is severely exploited as one of the lowest paid of all workers. She's on the bottom of the list. And on the other hand, black men are up against a system in which they are lucky to find employment at all. And black women have often been advantaged, educationally wise, by comparison with their brothers. The experience of slavery and of institutionalized racism has produced confusing and conflicting psychological dynamics in the black community with respect to men and women. Now we find common causes in women's liberation. You find that black women are suspicious of a white group that has co-opted their support, energy, and drive. That's one thing. Secondly, you find that black lower class women are presently emphasizing their independence of and prideful difference from white women. Thirdly, you find poor black women who are too occupied struggling for the necessities, the essentials of life. You find them trying to get shelter, food, and clothing to organize themselves around, instead of being, you know, in the movement of women's rights. Fourthly, we find lower class black women have deliberately submerged their identities in the struggle of racial equality. This is in tune with the collective spirit of the 60s. In black radical politics, individual concerns are superseded by the needs of the group, period. Now the differences from the whites, we find that, well, I won't talk about that. Right now, I'll talk about the parallels between women's liberation movement and the movement on the part of black women are for total emancipation. While there are certain comparisons that one can make simply because we both live under the same exploited system, there are certain differences, some of which are quite basic. The white women's movement is far from being monolithic. Any white group that does not have any anti-imperialist and anti-racist ideology has absolutely nothing in common with the black woman's struggle. In fact, some groups come to the incorrect conclusion that their oppression is due simply to male chauvinism. They therefore have an extremely anti-male tone to their dissertations. Black people are engaged in a life and death struggle, and the main emphasis of black women must be to combat the capitalist, racist exploitation of black people. This comes from Double Jeopardy, To Be Black and Female by Frances Beale. I have also some visual aids. I have some Tomorrow's Tomorrow by Joyce Ladner, To Be a Black Woman by Mel Watkins and Jay David, and downstairs in the YWCA lounge, we also have Black Women's Library that is still being filled with books of black women, by black women. Also, the next thing I would like to talk to you about is tensions. One of the things that is very high, big among the women's liberation movement is abortion. From a speech by Judy Claude, a black woman from Philadelphia, she says, abortion repeal means genocide to black people. You say abortion, I say sterilization. You demand self-determination and liberation for white women and expect black women to be a part of that struggle. I say there can be no coalition between white women and black women until you decide that your ultimate goal is the destruction of this economic system and the eradication of racism. You say abortion reform, I say genocide. Do you not understand that liberalized abortion for you would mean mandatory abortion for black women, sterilization for black women on welfare? Do you not understand that black women have had their tubes tied on the operating table without their knowledge, without their consent? Will you ensure that abortion liberalization does not mean genocide for black people? Or will your thoughts be that things like that wouldn't happen? If they are, then you are racist and criminal. My people do not need you. Oh yes, I know that more non-white women die as a result of illegal abortions, and I know that on the surface, black people would benefit from liberalized abortion laws. And the peace movement tells us that if we fight to end the war in Southeast Asia, material benefits will accrue to us. And the Earth Day specialists tell us that we must fight pollution so that we can live to enjoy equality. But I say, and my people say, that we would rather die of pollution or from illegal abortion than to continue to be your slaves. The abortion issue is surely one of the most volatile in terms of racial complications. One of the steps that some women's liberation groups have taken is to demand in their fight for abortion law repeal that non-white women be in control of decision-making processes about abortions at hospitals and clinics to ensure that racist practices will not continue. That's a couple of things from the various different black women who I've read about and given you their ideas and opinions. And it is true that the women's liberation movement has been stereotyped as a white class, middle class orientated movement, and that you find few black women in the women's liberation movement. Because black women today are trying to focus their attention not in women's liberation movement, but in the liberation of their race, period. And I think that if you want to try to attract more people in the women's liberation movement, you should focus your priorities in a different way. Maybe if you would try to focus on the problems of minority women, enormous increase in community child care facilities, adult education programming, and vocational training programs suitable for uneducated women, and problems of women who head households, maybe you may get a few black women. But in our struggle, for we do also have women struggling for liberation, black women. But as I said in the beginning, they are suspicious of women's liberation movement since it's white, middle class orientated, and their priorities are not in those that I have mentioned. They are most of the people that you hear in the white in the women's liberation movement won't have anything to do with men helping them do anything, whereas we are trying to bring our men up together, and we would like to get liberalized as a race, period.